Sie hören SBS German.
Der österreichische Filmemacher Michael Haneke polarisiert. Einerseits werden seine Filme von einem breiten Publikum geliebt und gelobt und preisgekrönt. Andererseits rufen sie auch Kontroversen hervor. Seine wohl bekanntesten Werke sind Das Weiße Band, Amour und Die Klavierlehrerin, um nur einige zu nennen. Jetzt widmet die Melbourne Cinematik dem heute 83-Jährigen eine Retrospektive. Darüber habe ich mit dem Co-Kurator Dr. Adrian Danks gesprochen. Er ist außerordentlicher Professor für Medien und Kommunikation an der RMIT University in Melbourne. Ich wollte zunächst von Adrian Danks wissen, warum sich die Kuratoren für Michael Haneke überhaupt entschieden haben.
We actually probably hold about or run about 12 or 13 retrospectives a year, so we do get through quite a number of filmmakers. Michael Haneke or Haneke is absolutely one of the kind of key contemporary art filmmakers working internationally, but particularly from Europe. We actually did run a Haneke season about 20 years ago. So this is actually a follow-up to that, or with almost completely unique set of films compared to that program. And he's made quite a few films since then, some of the most acclaimed films that he's actually made. So we thought it was important to kind of update that season in some ways while still showing some of the earlier work as well. But, you know, I think Haneke is a really important linchpin between contemporary kind of European cinema and the kind of post-war European cinema of people like Bergman and Bresson and Tarkovsky. There's a direct link, I think, between the two. So that's one reason. But the other thing is that Haneke is probably one of the most widely talked about and kind of discussed of contemporary filmmakers. And our audience, which kind of, I must admit, our kind of most popular films to run are often those kind of classic post-war European filmmakers up until the contemporary day, as well as some Asian films. So the Haneke season we ran 20 years ago was actually an incredibly successful season, which is somewhat surprising for a filmmaker who is, you know, unremittingly bleak in certain ways and unforgiving and unflinching in some ways. I mean, there's a bit more lighter shade than I'm suggesting there, but he's a filmmaker that audiences very much seem, of a certain kind, very much seem to appreciate. And we thought it was important to kind of come back now and kind of revisit his career, probably kind of at the end of his career. I mean, he's still alive, but it's quite possible he'll not make another film, I think.
Unflinching, also unerschrocken, so hat Adrian Danks Hanekes Filme beschrieben. Das ist auch das Attribut, das die Retrospektive Haneke gibt. Es ist die Rede von Hanekes unerschrockener Vision. Ich wollte von Adrian Danks wissen, warum er dieses Attribut verdient.
Well, I think, I mean, you can, when you read interviews with Haneke, I mean, one of the things that he constantly talks about is his dislike for, I guess, mainstream narrative cinema, for Hollywood cinema, for a certain kind of cinema, a cinema of, you know, where violence might be, but violence isn't really felt. And so I think you can talk about his films as kind of having this kind of unblinkered vision. So he looks with a very quite cool eye on the contemporary world, but also the world of the 20th century too. So there's a mix between contemporary set films and historical films in his filmography. And he's interested, I guess, in the kind of alienation of contemporary society and the impact of things like capitalism, the impact of things like other kinds of media, television, etc. So, you know, he had made a string of films in the 1990s, which are very much around the desensitizing effect of modern communication on the contemporary world. So, and if you look at even his later films, they kind of, I think they expand outwards. I think he's, for me, he's a filmmaker who becomes richer as he goes on in many respects, which is unusual, I think, for a lot of filmmakers. I think his greatest works are probably in the second half of his career. But even when he makes a film like Amour, which won the Palme d'Or in 2012, and he's looking at, you know, aging, which I guess, you know, he was 70 when he made the film, but the two actors he chose, two very prominent actors in European cinema, are both in their 80s at that time. And, you know, the relationship between an aging couple, one of whose, you know, has had a stroke and can't really live in the way they once did, is that although there's a compassion in his work, there's also this kind of really kind of distanced view or vision of of just what it is to live in the modern world. So, yeah, that unflinching vision, I think, is, you know, it's a kind of like a scalpel, I guess.
Hanekes Filme, und das ist als leise Warnung gedacht, sind keine leichte Kost. Wer sich im Kino zurücklehnen und in unbeschwerte Welten flüchten möchte, der ist bei Haneke nicht gut aufgehoben. Seine Filme regen zum Nachdenken an. Kritiker bezeichnen sie als konfrontativ und befremdend und sogar als düster und verstörend. Warum also sollten wir uns einen Film von Haneke überhaupt antun, wollte ich wissen.
That's a very good question. Because they don't sound like something you'd want to go and watch. And I think you do need to be prepared for the films that you're actually going to see. Although they can be quite beautiful too, like visually quite beautiful. But why should we go and see them? Because I think it's important to have films that provoke us, that make us think. I mean, I think that the films we're profiling, the films that he makes mostly, we do look at a few of the earlier films, but from 2000 onwards, I wouldn't say they're not bleak, but I think they have a more open-ended vision. And I think they're not forgiving in some ways, but I do think they provide a more complex vision of the world and people's place within it. But I guess his films really are films that make us think about, you know, the legacy of the Western world, and the legacy of capitalism, and the legacy of things like fascism. You know, which you see in a film like you see the foundations of that in a film like The White Ribbon. So, look, I think there are many reasons to go and see Haneke's films. I mean, they also feature, in particularly the films we're screening, the later films, which are very actor-centred in many ways, some extraordinary performances as well. Isabelle Huppert, for example, appears in The Piano Teacher, and The Time of the Wolf, two of the films we're screening. And they're really extraordinary performances, or the performances of Jean-Louis Trintignant and Emmanuel Riva in Amour, and Isabelle Huppert as well, again, in that film too. They're some of the greatest performances of those actors' career. I think because of the kind of environment that Haneke actually creates, which is both quite an insular one, but also very much reflective of, you know, a state of being in the world. So, yes, don't go expecting you're going to have a good time, but you will have a thought-provoking and interesting time, and certainly we'll have things to take away from the films.
Die für Hanekes Retrospektive ausgewählten Filme sind nicht nur diejenigen, die ein breites Publikum gefunden und internationale Filmpreise gewonnen haben, sondern auch solche, die man noch nicht unbedingt gesehen hat. Ich wollte von Adrian Danks wissen, welche er empfehlen würde, vor allem denjenigen, die noch nicht mit dem Werk von Michael Haneke vertraut sind.
I mean, this sounds a little obvious in some ways. My two favorite Michael Haneke films are actually the two that won the Palme d'Or, which is, you know, not normal for me to necessarily favor the most celebrated, but Amour and White Ribbon, I think, are both quite extraordinary measured films by a filmmaker who's very much at the, you know, was at the peak of his career. So, I'd certainly recommend both of those. And I think they're both very good experiences too, in terms of you haven't seen a Haneke film before, much more so than some of the films we're not screening this time, like Benny's Video or 71 Fragments of a Chronology of Chance, which are completely unrelenting. But of the later films that we are screening, another film called Time of the Wolf, which has been less widely seen. I wouldn't say it's an obscure film, but it certainly didn't get a commercial release in Australia. And it was one of the later films that kind of slipped between the cracks a bit. I mean, I think it does something in the most complete way of all Haneke's films. One of the things he's very good at is creating an environment, a kind of environmental portraiture. And that's a film that it kind of you take away from it in many respects, because his films are often quite ambiguous. So there's a cataclysm that's occurred, environmental cataclysm, but you don't kind of know what it is. You don't know where it happened. You just see the effects of it. And this is quite a common thing in Haneke's cinema. He kind of puts you into characters who are feeling the effect of something rather than seeing the cause of it. And in that film, it's an extraordinary portrait of a contemporary society, Western, you know, European society, without electricity. right? So all civilization is breaking down. I mean, that's another theme that runs through many of his films in different ways. It's about the breaking, they're about the breaking downs of, you know, of modern civilization and the fault lines of that. So I'd say Time of the Wolf is a film I would absolutely recommend to get a full sense of just the kind of extraordinary kind of sort of world that Haneke can create. Now, of the earlier films that we're screening, I mean, these have been quite hard to see. So Haneke made quite a number of television films and miniseries before making a feature film. So he didn't make his first feature film until he was 47. So we are screening a couple of those earlier works. And of those, I definitely would recommend The Rebellion, which is a film he made around the time he really moved into feature film production. So he still kind of moved between both, which is based on Joseph Roth's novel. And again, it's an extraordinary portrait of that kind of post-World War I period and the privations upon a soldier who loses a leg. I'm not giving anything away. It happens early in the film, who loses a leg and, you know, all the privations he's put up under in kind of, you know, post-war German society. So I'd recommend that. I have to say, one of the films we're screening called Lemmings, I have never even seen. That's one of the pleasures of programming sometimes is that you get to see films that you haven't actually seen before. But I know it has a very strong reputation of that earlier work.
Liken, teilen und kommentieren Sie unsere Inhalte bei facebook.com/sbsgerman.